Good morning, Mosaic. How are you this morning? Just happy to be with you this morning on this beautiful, glorious, cool morning. What an amazing preempter to fall. It's just such a wonderful time to just sit and have coffee outside and just be amazed at what God does through the seasons. Let's go to Him in prayer right now. Father God in heaven, we thank you for your amazing love. We thank you for your amazing grace. We thank you for your patience with us. And we thank you that you are ascending God, that you love us so much and you love the world so much that, Lord, you use us broken vessels to carry your message of the gospel. And, Lord, we thank you that we are treasures in jars of clay. We carry that treasure. And so, Jesus, as we come to you this morning, Lord, may you open our hearts. May you speak to us in a way that maybe you haven't recently. And Lord Jesus, may we feel your presence and your power in this morning as we worship you. We worship all you are, all you do, and just the amazing gift of your grace in this world, that the sun coming up every morning, that your mercies are new. And Lord God, that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And so Lord, even in the midst of the difficult days, you shine bright. And Lord God, we are so very thankful that you draw our attention. You know, just as Paul on the road to Damascus saw you many times greater, bright than the sun. What an amazing sight that must have been. And so, Lord, we are thankful that you open our eyes. We are thankful that you walk with us and direct us and guide us and lead us. And, Lord, that's our prayer this morning for all of us, that we might hear your voice and we might move in a direction that you call us to go. Lord Jesus, we love you. We pray your blessing over all of our families, wherever they are today. And Lord God, just ask that they are resting in you during this time. We love you and praise you, Jesus. And it's in your name we pray and ask it. Amen.
Amen. Good morning, everybody. Before we get rolling into the day, we have an announcement to make. A movement of God to proclaim, in essence. 5 years ago, Mosaic was growing in a particular way that caused us to look to add to our staff. We had grown in regard to our impact on the city and the type of ministry we were performing in the city and the people we were reaching. And we really felt like at that time we needed a missions guy. We needed somebody who had a heart for lost people and a heart for the city in particular. Somebody who just had a passion for Jesus and a passion for the church. And so we began to pray that the Lord would bring somebody, and just in hopes that he would bring just the right person at just the right time to do just the right things in just the right way. Well, out of the blue came a guy named Brad Gentile. I don't know if you guys know him. He's standing right here.
Hello.
I had never met him. In fact, I'd never heard of him, even though he's famous in these parts, I surmise.
Oh, yeah. Right.
The idea was that I had never met this man. And so we had spent actually some months kind of getting to know each other.
6, 7 months.
You know, talking about ministry. He had never been in ministry before. In fact, he had been a CEO at a large organization in Cleveland for a long time and was an entrepreneur and businessman himself. And the Lord had captured his heart and saved him. And then through the process of actually being a minister to his employees and to the people that they served in his organization, he was prompted to let go of that world and consider vocational ministry.
That was pretty wild. That was pretty wild, yeah. Exciting, exciting time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, for whatever reason, he brought this guy here. And the conversations ensued, as I said, for about 6 months as we got to know each other a little bit and talked about the mission here. We talked about what ministry looks like because, again, he had never experienced vocational ministry. And it was just important that we had these conversations.
Well, I'll tell you, what a crazy time that was. I had lived in Mansfield all my life but spent most of my life out of Mansfield, so this was foreign territory to me, and then coming into the city and into Mosaic, it was quite a different reality than I had known church to be. I came from a suburban church, and And just, I guess I didn't know what I didn't know. And so as I came here, boy, what an amazing blessing that was, an eye-opening experience, really.
Well, and the reason that's important is because as through the 6 months of getting to know him, to bring him, you know, to see if the Lord would have him come on staff, one of the things he had said to me on a couple of occasions was he really felt that the Lord was calling him to be a senior pastor, to be somebody who would have a church and to be able to teach and to share the word. And I thought, wonderful, that's awesome. Pastoring's a little more than that.
A lot more than that, yes,
you know.
A lot more.
And so we had to talk about how he perceived ministry and how he perceived church. And the Lord led him here, and we were led to bring him on. And so for the last 4.5 years,
yeah,
you know, he has functioned as our missions guy and has been an incredible blessing to the entire community, and especially, in particular, the recovery community, you know, where he has
had. That has been such a sweet, sweet open door for ministry. It's really just been wonderful to get to know such wonderful people and walk with them through some of the darkest days of their life.
Right.
You know, it's what a blessing it is on a Sunday morning to see those faces and to see the joy in those hearts as they some of them for the first time ever have been cleansed by the Lord's blessing and able to walk in a way that maybe they hadn't been able to before, and that was really amazing work that he had done.
Yep,
very much so.
Well, when Brad came on staff, he was a little raw, and
yeah,
very eager, and so for the course of the first three and a half years, you know, we worked together very well, and yet sometimes very rough.
Sure.
You know,
we're both belligerent guys.
You know, maybe it's because of our age, or both being Italian, yeah, both of us having been leaders. The joy in our relationship was really how tough we were on each other and our desire to push each other to grow in Christ. So over the course of that time, this raw and eager man, you know, really was enfolded here beautifully, and we began to watch him grow more and more. And in particular, in his view of ministry, and having a couple conversations where all of a sudden this "I want to be a pastor so that I can teach" became the heart, and not only one who can teach, but one whose heart was now bent to the sheep for the desire of shepherding the sheep, gently, tenderly, graciously, honestly.
And if I might interrupt there, please. that was a bellwether moment for me, that I realized that all of what we do informs our teaching, informs our preaching, because God is moving constantly. Mm-hmm. And unless we are engaged in relationship with people and actually allowing our hearts to be broken, mm-hmm, in those relationships, and then letting God reform our hearts in a way that only He can do, we are really reading out of a book. We're sterile teachers, right?
Right.
So the beauty of being able to be broken along with those we serve, the Holy Spirit uses all of those things and brings His beautiful truth of the grace of the gospel to light. And so what a amazing light shining on relationship,
yeah,
you know, our God of a relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is a sweet and bittersweet moment. You know, the moment Brad shared with me that he felt led by God to eventually be a senior pastor and to have a flock for through which God would use him, I began to pray for him as to what that would look like. If, Lord, is this the leading you have on his life? Lord, if this is the leading you have on his life, how would you have us facilitate him? How would you have us love him? What would you give us for him to experience and to grow both in depth and breadth? And that's been our commitment from the very beginning. And listen, not just to train him to go, but that if this was God's leading, that when it was time to go, that he'd be ready to go.
Praise God for that, because you know, you guys know, as everything that we do, we have our own thoughts about how that is to go. And in ministry, we are serving a Lord that moves constantly and is always working. And so the gift that he gives us is a supple heart. And that comes through the breaking. But for Tony to be praying for me, I would get texts from him all the time about that I'm praying for you today. And at first I was like, well, okay, I hope nothing's wrong with me. But, you know, one of those things. But but the fact of the matter is that I believe this amazing staff here as well, and as many of you have been praying also for what God would do in my life. Because I think, obviously, there were some sharp edges in the beginning because, you know, I had been a manager. So that, you know, I often saw things as black and white. Well, as we all know, relationships aren't black and white. Ministry isn't black and white. It is a beautiful array of colors that only God can bring into hue in your heart. And so I think it's remarkable that the prayer of the saints is so powerful, because I was telling him earlier, I don't know when my heart changed, but I do know that it changed for just that extreme desire to see people grow and to see people have their eyes of their heart opened. And I believe that was through the prayer of the faithful. In James it says that they are effectual as we pray, right?
Powerful,
so
right?
Powerful, yeah. So I want to thank you for praying, and also you guys.
So what's neat about this is this, you know, that change and that transformation, that deepening, that brokenness enabled Brad to come in, certainly as one who loved Jesus and the Word and loved people and the church. But he went from somebody who perceived ministry as an opportunity to teach and present the truth to the incredible and overwhelming privilege to love the sheep and serve them, to walk beside them and to be broken with them, even broken by them.
Amen.
And it was that moment that I began to see that, unfortunately for us, but wonderful nonetheless, I began to see the heart of the shepherd rise up in this man and his being ready for whatever God would have for him. And the door has opened up. The opportunity for him to serve a ministry and to serve as a senior pastor in a church in Shelby, Ohio, has given him the opportunity to come and shepherd, and they've called him to be their senior pastor. And this is a bittersweet moment, certainly.
Very much so. I remember talking to Mary early on and saying, man, you know, I love the people who I serve, and I love the community in which I serve, and I love the team in which I get to serve with and under. And I just feel like there was a time when God says, yeah, I know, that's wonderful. But that's only part of your journey. And so the beauty of such an amazing body as Mosaic is, you know, the depth and breadth of the people who God has sent here to attend here. And all of you have shaped my heart in one way or another. And God has used each of us in each other's life to mm-hmm. shape one another. And what a beautiful gift we get to be part of the body of Christ and our unique gifts and talents that Jesus has given us. Get to work together for God's glory. And every Sunday when the house is full, it is just a full heart time for all of us. And for many you know, of the community too, you know, it's very difficult for me because part of the missions endeavors was getting to know our community and the wonderful broken pieces around Mansfield that we got to serve through meals and the wonderful broken pieces we got to serve with to make those meals. And all of those things add up to just an amazing, beautiful picture that God is painting. And sometimes it's heartbreaking, but exciting to go to the next step that God has in our lives. And as that's where I think we are.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit scary, But God has just granted a beautiful body of believers over in Shelby that just have sweet hearts and hearts for their community, much like your all's hearts. And what an amazing blessing to walk into a place and hear them talking about the people of their community and how they desperately want people to know Jesus. And that's really the heartbeat of Mosaic, right?
Yep.
And so this process has been so Spirit-led from the beginning, from even before I even knew anything about this opportunity. I believe that you had been praying about that.
And, yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
The Lord had put it on my heart that he was moving Brad and preparing something for Brad. And it just, as God does, he orchestrated it just beautifully and wove this together in a way that we could not have in any way imagined or engineered ourselves. In fact, I can tell you that there isn't one of us on the staff, and I'm sure not one of you, that wants to release him, that wants to let him go, because we want to hold on tight to people we love and people who have impacted us. But he's been reading Acts and the life of Paul and how Paul was saved and then began to preach. And then there was a moment in time where there were a number of teachers and prophets gathered, and among them they chose these two, Paul being one of them, to lay hands on, to bless, and to send out to do ministry, to send to another place. And if you were to read Acts 13 to 20, what you see is this succession of Paul going into a community, getting to know the community, preaching the gospel, developing relationships.
Yes.
And the moment he got this sense of comfort or this sense of, you know, completion, the Lord took him to another place and another place and another place. And finally in Acts 20, he's at the church in Ephesus, and he says to them, I have to go, and where I'm going, I don't know what the Lord will be doing, but it is time for me to go. And by the end of their discourse he had with those leaders in Ephesus, it says that in verse 27, I believe, well, later in the discourse, it says that Paul knelt with the elders and the directors. So he knelt with the people of that church, and it says they wept together. They wept together.
I understand that.
Right. So here's how I will leave this for the time being. Brad's tenure at this new place that God has moved, is moving him, begins in September. I would ask that we would all pray for him and lift him and Mary up as they are called into this new endeavor. I pray that we would pray for that church, and the name of the church is?
First Baptist Church of Shelby.
That we would pray for them and their growth and their being knit together and wed together. That we would continue to celebrate the work that God has done in Brad and through Brad here amongst us. Now, this is not goodbye. We will remain connected. We will continue to do ministry together. We will continue to be the friends that we have been and the colleagues that we have been, and we find joy in that. But I also invite you to mourn and take the time to be sad, that even though the Lord is doing something magnificent here and there's great joy in this, in the next chapter, there's always something about the previous chapter being closed. But remember, the previous chapter doesn't go away.
No.
God builds upon it. He uses it to set the stage for the next story. And that is not only true in Brad's life, it's true in Mosaic's life. Mm-hmm. So please know just the love and the affection we have for one another.
Absolutely.
That this body has for Brad and Mary, and that they have for us. This is an exciting moment. This is 5 years in the making, a lifetime in the making.
Right.
But here in our context, this is 5 years in the making. I didn't know if it would come. We were ready to... You know, he mentioned before that this has been in the process for a while. That's totally the Holy Spirit behind the scenes. It's only been the last couple months where it's actually begun to come to a head.
Right.
And the reason we haven't said anything before this is because if for whatever reason that wasn't the Lord's leading, he wasn't going anywhere.
Nope.
Because this is not a see you later, Brad. This is what does God have for you, Brad? And what does God have for Mosaic and for First
Right.
Baptist? And as the Lord unfolds this, we will now respond to it. With some joy and with some weeping.
And I have to be honest, you know, there was in the beginning of even the prospect of leaving this beautiful body of believers and the Spirit's work here in Mansfield, there was some mourning for me. I think that I was probably in denial for at least 3 weeks of knowing that this was a possibility. And Mary and I talked about that, and we both said, look, you know, when we came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, our lives are not our own anymore. And so it is up to Him as to what happens with these lives. And so we talked about the fact that if we would take one step at a time, and that's what we told everyone involved here and there, that as the Lord leads, we will go. And it was a difficult place to get to, but then there came from the Holy Spirit a gift of peace, in that as this moved forward, we felt the strength of the Lord and His joy in the moving forward. And so I would say within a couple of weeks before that decision was made on their end, we knew that if they called, we must go. And I probably could say, I don't know how Paul felt, but I do know that he probably had some difficulty when the Holy Spirit said, please send them out. He had lots of people that he loved and cared for. And so I think that he mourned as well in a way. So I love all of you guys. I really do. And you're making this decision a beautiful decision, yet a difficult one. And Mary and I will covet your prayers. The body at First Baptist will covet your prayers. And I think that as the Lord leads, our paths will cross again. And so I just pray a blessing over each one of you. I love you so much, and I'm so very thankful for the grace and the love you've shown Mary and I. And we certainly will be keeping you in our prayers as well as this next chapter unfolds.
Here's the neatest part about what God does. He uses us all in the making. He uses us all in the making. And so what's coming to fruition here is the culmination of many hearts and many lives and many prayers and many hands that form and shape every one of us. That's the beauty of God's body. It's the beauty of His Spirit, that there isn't one of us that hasn't been involved in this transformation, and we've all been transformed. And so I'm going to ask you to join me in prayer for Brad and Mary and for First Baptist. So let's pray. Father, we come before you and we thank you for your mercies. We thank you for the privilege of ministry. We thank you more than that, though, for the privilege of being called your children. And Lord, we lift these two up. We lift Brad and Mary up to you and pray, Lord God, that you would just envelop them with your grace, fill them with your Spirit, give them vision that goes beyond them. Lord, any latent gifts that are in these two, I pray that you would raise up, that they would be able to minister just as you call and just as their congregation needs. Father, we lift First Baptist up to you and pray, Father, for anointing of your Spirit there on them, that they would be prepared to hear the word and just as it's to be delivered and to receive it and to allow their hearts to be malleable and formed and shaped, that they would be knit together as a body of believers, as a body of believers. And then, Lord God, that they would shine like stars in the universe as they hold out the word of life.
Yes.
That they would be seen by the community and would like a city on a hill, Lord God. And they would draw through their love and devotion for you and your goodness expressed through them, that they would draw men. You would draw men to yourself, men and women to yourself through them. So, Lord, bless them, keep them, protect them. And may we go with them. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, I just lift up this body and this staff to you. I just pray your blessing over them for their faithfulness to you in all of the sifting and sharpening and all of the things that you do through your people, and that you draw us closer to you and you forge us by rubbing against one another. And so, Lord, I pray over this congregation and its leadership that you would just continue to move mightily here, as you always have. And, Lord Jesus, that whatever occurs in your grace and in your strength in Shelby, that it would be a mighty outworking of this beautiful body and this beautiful place where your grace shines so brightly. We love you, Jesus, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brad. Thank you for indulging us. I know that was, I know that took a little bit of time, but listen, he's worthy of the time. This is worthy of time. But more than anything, the Lord's movement is worthy of that time. And I thank you for that. What I want to do is we're going to not get through everything that I may have intended today in regard to the notes. But I'll tell you what I would like to do. I'd like you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 1 for a moment. Because what I want to do is I want to remind us of something. You know, this, you know, what Brad and Mary are being asked to do is a model of what Christ calls us to do. And at the end of Matthew, when Jesus is leaving his disciples, one of the last things he says to them is, go make disciples. He says, of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey. Teach them to love me. Teach them that my words, my commands are life to them. And that my I love you is the expression of my person. Their I love you is to trust me enough to obey. That is an incredible privilege we have, to be children of God and be ambassadors for God, to go out and be spokesmen for God as his Spirit moves us. And that may take us places. That may cause us to have to leave relationships. That may cause us to mourn. That may cause us to suffer loss. But Jesus said something really important. He said, listen, unless a grain of wheat dies and falls to the ground, it will not sprout up and bear fruit. And so as we die to ourselves and we allow God to plant us, we bear fruit as he works in us and through us, because all we can do is plant the seed. But it is the Lord who causes it to grow. It's the Lord who bears fruit. And so as we present ourselves to him, as we give ourselves to him, as we say to him, Lord, we are yours. Do with us what you will, according to your will. Life changes. Opportunities arise. It's ours then to follow and trust that he will guide us in the process. He will also restore us. He will bear fruit in us and through us, and we have something to look forward to. Certainly the satisfaction of living out Christ's love here on earth and to love one another, but also something to look forward to in regard to eternity, as we are seated at the table in eternity with Christ in the new kingdom, as we are gathered up. And that is the hope. That is the goal. What I want to do is I want to just, this may end up being just a word of encouragement as we move forward. But in 1 Peter chapter 1, I want to remind us where we've been in regard to what God has done. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to start at verse 3. Father, we thank you for your word, and pray, Lord, it would just enrich us. That it would, as you call us to yourself, Lord God, you would show us that you have incredible intentions for us. And even in the midst of suffering, or in the midst of loss, in the midst of transitions, in the midst of a world that can sometimes push and pull us, you, Father, desire for us to look through that to what's to come and to find joy even in the most difficult circumstances. So, Lord, guide us in that process. Help us to be refreshed by your word, and may your Spirit speak to us in a way that is just refreshing and empowering and encouraging. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to start here. And like I said, I don't know how far we'll get today, but I want to look at it. It says, all praise to God. Now I'm going to read this out of the New Living Translation for a moment. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy toward us that we have been born again, made in the image and likeness of God, now created, born again and created in Christ Jesus. And we have been, through his mercy, we've been born again because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation. And that's what I was saying before, being able to see through this world into what is to come. And we have a priceless inheritance, what it is we will receive when the time comes. This is an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you. It is pure and is undefiled. It's perfect and it's waiting for us. And God holds it tight for us. And this is beyond the reach of any change or decay. That although there are changes in this world, when we get into the kingdom, we will see God for who he is. And he holds for us that thing that he has made for us. And we can have, and we know we'll receive it with full expectation. Verse 5, and through faith, God is protecting us by his power until you receive this salvation, until that time comes, which is ready to be revealed in the last days for all to see, that the entire, all of creation will see all of this coming to fruition, Jesus being lifted up. Verse 6, so be truly glad, rejoice. There is wonderful joy ahead. Even though right now we may have to endure many trials for this little while, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. These trials, as God works in them and through them, as God forms and shapes you, as he works all things out for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purposes, these trials will prove your faith in him genuine. And not to him, but to us, ourselves, and to those who see it. These trials show that your faith is genuine and is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. That God is working this out in us. And though your faith is far more precious than gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, when God enables you to work through it, when you persevere, when you cling to him and trust that he is working this out, it will bring you much praise and much glory and much honor the day Jesus is revealed. In other words, Jesus revealing is in us and through us as our character is formed. He is seen in us. His grace is declared through our lives. God is revealing to all of creation the wonders of his grace as he expresses it to men. Now I want to go to chapter 2 for a minute. We're going to start at verse 11. So what I wanted to do was make sure that we're encouraged, that we have a God who has saved us and in his mercy has called us to himself. We look forward to the resurrection. As Jesus was raised from the dead, so we will be raised from the dead. So Jesus went to make a place for us. He will now come and get us and to take us to that place. The mouthpiece of God, and we are the expression of his grace. Proof to the world that Jesus is who he is. Our faith being proved genuine and looking forward to the inheritance we have. And I want to stop there for a minute. Great expectations in anticipation of a hope that is sure, that God in his glory and his goodness has done these things and he has promised us eternal life, the forgiveness of sins, being adopted into his family. This is the truth. And this is the hope we have. And this is the vision that enables us to look through the moment, through the circumstances, through whatever it is this world has, to know that this truth, to know this joy, to know, to anticipate this reunion. So we go to verse 11, and he's teaching us how to live in the midst of all this. Or not verse 11. Yeah, chapter 2, verse 11. After he reminds us now, not only have we been called and given this salvation through mercy, we have been made children of God. We are living stones being built into a temple that houses the Holy Spirit. We are a royal priesthood that brings sacrifices of praise to God. We are a brotherhood. We are heirs with Christ. So he says, because all of this is true, dear friends, I urge you, verse 11, as foreigners and exiles, as strangers here, citizens of the kingdom of God, but living here on earth, abstain from sinful desires, live your life purely. These desires will wage war against your soul. So live such good lives among unbelievers, among pagans, that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they don't understand what you're doing. They don't understand why you're doing it. They don't understand, you know, what it is that God is accomplishing. And they will not interpret it rightly. And though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds, the expression of Christ in you, and glorify God on the day he visits. Verse 13, he goes on to say, how you do this is submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every human authority. Be respectful, be a good citizen. Live your life according to the goodness that is in you. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority, whether the emperor is a supreme authority, to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Put to silence anything that people might say in a slanderous way about God's people. Live a good life. Verse 16, live as free people. But do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. You are indentured to him. You are his possession, and he is working in you and through you. Show proper respect to everyone. Dignify them. They have been made in the image of God. God desires that they would come to him. His pleasure is that he would use you in their life. Therefore, respect them. Respect everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God and honor the emperor. Live a life of dignity and respect. Live a life that's peaceable and gracious. Live a life that sprinkles salt on the tongues of the people around you and sheds light of the good news of Jesus. Verse 18 says, slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourself to your masters. And I want to stop here for a second. You know, when we read this verse, I want us to understand, he says, slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourself to your masters. Listen, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also those who are harsh. Now, why does he put this right here? Well, because what he wants us to see is, regardless of the circumstance we find ourselves in, and now this is a general teaching, okay? Regardless of the circumstances we find ourselves in and the people with whom we are interacting, we are to conduct ourselves in a way that is respectful and honorable and brings the good news of Jesus into that relationship. Now, socially, I want us to understand this, especially in the context of our day. He's not advocating slavery here. Neither is he ignoring slavery here. He's not. He's not pretending that slavery, Peter, the writer of this, is not pretending that slavery is a good thing. That is not his concern in the context of this writing. His concern in the context of his writing is to express to all of us, in the midst of whatever suffering, even the most extreme suffering that you may be experiencing, what we all need to do is to submit ourselves to God. We need to enable him to work through us in a way that would affect the lives of everyone around us. Now understand, if you were to read 1 Corinthians 7, Paul says to slaves, if you can procure your freedom, get out. Get free. Paul writes a letter to Philemon and says, who is a slave owner, and says, listen, let him go. Treat him as a freedman, because that's who he is in Christ. So Peter is in no way advocating slavery. Neither is he justifying it. Well, what he's focused on here is the kingdom of heaven and on each one of our conduct that brings the kingdom of heaven forward. So please don't mistake that. So slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourself to your master, recognizing that the entrusting is to God. I fear God. Why? Because he is the one. He is my master. He is my master. He knows where I am. He knows who I'm with. He knows how I'm being treated. Again, I'm going to say this in a general sense. We know there are contexts in which we are abused in such a way or we're neglected in such a way that we need to extricate ourselves from that relationship. But this is a general understanding of bringing the kingdom forward and not allowing our circumstances to keep us from bringing the kingdom forward. So in reverent fear of God, submit yourself to your masters, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also those who are harsh, those who are not necessarily fair, or they're unjust, or they treat you unfairly. For it is commendable if anyone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering, because they are conscious of God, they're mindful of God. It is commendable. In other words, God grants favor to the one who perseveres through their suffering in such a way as to bring him forward, because they're mindful of God's sovereignty. They're mindful of his faithfulness. They're mindful of his goodness. They're mindful of his ability to move through the circumstance to bring favor and blessing to the person who's persevering, and then to use that as an example of grace to those with whom that suffering person is circling. So he's saying, I will grant favor to the one who bears up under pain. I will be there. I will deliver him. I will give him or her every expression of blessing of my presence and my power. I will use them as a tool of my bidding. I will do that. So in reverent fear, submit yourself to that circumstance. Verse 19, for God's favor is granted to whoever bears up under this pain, especially if it's unjust, because they're conscious of God, because they know God can use this moment, turn it for good, and use it to accomplish his will. Verse 20, but how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing something wrong and endure it? Understand. Pray for wisdom and discernment as to the type of suffering that you are under. Why are you under that suffering? Is it a matter of unjust suffering in the sense that you're being treated in a way that's unfair and is not commensurate to your behavior, your character, your deeds, your work? These are the places where we stand up underneath God and recognize His ability to use us. And we pray for the those who are causing the suffering, and we treat them with respect and honor as to bring the gospel forward. Now, this is going to be, as we read this, this will be explained a little bit more. So we want to recognize that any suffering we get for doing wrong, we deserve it. Verse 20, so but how is it any to your credit if you receive a beating for doing what is wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for what is for doing good you endure it, this is commendable before God. He grants favor and blessing to the one who stands firm. And to this you were called. This type of suffering you were called. Unjust suffering you were called. Well, what does that mean? It means once now a slave of God, a child of God, an heir of God with Christ. Once that is so, I now stand in His kingdom, and He places me in this world to be an advocate, to be an ambassador, to be an example of His grace. In doing so, as I submit myself to God and I entrust myself to God, He works in miraculous ways through me. And this is a blessing to my soul, and it's commendable. And so we were called to this because all men suffer. Let me say this. There isn't a human being in the world that isn't suffering. In fact, Brad and I were just talking right before the service that, to be honest with you, suffering outweighs happiness in this world 10 to 1. We are suffering in some regard constantly. And then there are just these moments, these glimpses of happiness. That's not what we're being called to. We're being called to joy. So where happiness is circumstantial and it is fleeting in the sense that suffering is constantly present, joy is an underlying condition of a recognition of what we can expect and what God is, who we are in God and what He's doing through us. And so even in the worst of circumstances, although it may be a matter of suffering and it doesn't make us particularly happy, it doesn't bring ecstasy, there's this underlying joy that enables us to recognize that this is a blip on the screen, an important one because it forms and shapes us, but it is nothing compared to the glory we're going to receive. And that joy is in the hope that we have. And that enables us then to stand firm in the midst of the suffering and to persevere through it with great joy, knowing that not only is God using it to conform me into His likeness, but He's using it to shine through me like a star in the universe. And especially as I rejoice in it. So to this you were called. To what? To be an example of God's grace. The entire world is suffering. The difference is in the manner of how we respond to the suffering. We respond to the suffering. And in Christ Jesus, we can respond in joy. In Christ Jesus, we can respond in wisdom. In Christ Jesus, we can respond with a gentle and kind word. In regard to Jesus, we can see Him doing the work, and so we can stand in it and be an example of His grace. So verse 21 again. To this you were called, because Christ suffered the same way, and He suffered unjust suffering. Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example how it is we ought to respond to our suffering. Verse 22, and in His case, He committed no sin, and there was no deceit found in His mouth. He did not use, He did not manipulate. He was honest. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in His mouth. And when they hurled insults at Him, He did not retaliate. He didn't return insult for insult. When He suffered, He made no threats. He did not respond with a closed fist. Instead, listen, He entrusted Himself to Him who judges justly. Even though He was going through unjust suffering, He entrusted Himself to the one. He surrendered to the one who would treat Him justly. Our God treats us justly according to Jesus. And are having given our lives to Him and to receive His righteousness. And now I stand before God justified. I stand before Him as the expression of the goodness of Christ. That being said, He will treat me justly. He will treat me according to the nature that I am. And the nature that I am is Christ Jesus. And the deposit guaranteeing that is the Holy Spirit. So He says, When they hurled insults at Jesus, He did not retaliate. When He suffered, He made no threats. Instead, He put Himself in the hands of God. He put Himself and He surrendered Himself to His Father, to Him who judges justly. He goes on to say, he himself then bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and now live for righteousness, that we would die to the ways of this world, and we would now live according to Christ. So much so that it is by his wounds that we were healed, our hearts replenished. We have been made new. Verse 25, for you were like sheep going astray, going your own way. But now, being called by God, you return to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls. Entrust yourself there. Now, I'm going to break this down more next week, and we're going to look at it more deeply. But what I want so badly for us to do is to be encouraged by this truth. That yes, this world means something. It does. And there is much suffering in the midst of it. But we can find joy in all of that by looking through this world, allowing God to use the things of this world to form and shape us, giving us the privilege of being in the world as expressions of his grace, but looking forward to the time to come in eternity when we will rest in him, we will rejoice in him, we'll be restored in him, we'll be reconciled to him. And that then the even maybe deeper joy of having looking to our left and to our right to see those whose hands we grabbed on the way or who grabbed ours on the way to get us there, the tools in God's hands to bring his children to himself. Let me close in prayer. Father, we thank you for your incredible mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, teach us to live in this world as you have called us. Jesus, you set us an example that even though you had never sinned, there was no deceit in your mouth. You didn't try to manipulate or use your being God to your own advantage. Instead, you made yourself nothing and you walked among us in mercy and grace and love and honesty and truth. And you were treated unjustly. You suffered in an unjust way. But you did so, in doing so, Lord, you entrusted yourself to the Father, knowing the end result, and then seeing the mission that you were on to bring that kingdom forward, to express the mercy of that God, and to bring us into you, that we might also entrust ourselves to the Father. We might also see that eternal glory. We might also have the vision of what's to come. So, Lord, use us. Guide us, empower us, meet us in the midst of our suffering, remind us of who we are in you, open our eyes to see what it is you're accomplishing, and then give us the wisdom, the words, the mercy, the grace, and the love to be examples of you. We pray these things in Jesus' name, amen.